To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the Portland Renters Assembly, happening Tuesday the 21st from 5:30 to 7:45 p.m. at the Central Library in downtown Portland, and Sunday the 26th from 1 to 3 p.m. at the North Portland Library. The Portland Renters Assembly is a gathering of people united by the burden of rent and committed to housing as a human right. There'll be a chance for individuals to tell their stories about skyrocketing rents, no-cause evictions, dubious fees, and other kinds of exploitation carried out in the name of rent. There'll be childcare, snacks, and a chance to get connected to resources for moving forward together. For more information about the Portland Renters Assembly, go to kboo.fm and click on the right side for community events.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good.
Good evening, greetings, and welcome to Prison Pipeline. I'm your host, Adam Carpinelli. Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration. So tonight, we have a truly community, KBOO community is what I'm referring to, KBOO community event here. And we have two great folks who are doing some amazing work on KBOO, on their programs, on other aspects of programming for the station. It's probably good timing. We're getting close to the pledge drive here, so we can kind of another way to like give some cool plugs for KBOO and the props that everybody, with all the great work that everybody's doing. So I'm going to go ahead and welcome you to the show. Good evening. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So you mind if just give a brief introduction to what you're working on and who you are?
I'll go first. I'm Jackie Malmstrom. I'm the host of Rose City Native Radio here on
KBOO. And our show is on every Thursday, 6 to 7 p.m., if anyone's interested. It's a Native radio show aimed towards Native youth. We play Native hip-hop, rock, punk, the whole shebang, talk about Native comic books, as well as Native video games and serious things, mascot issues, land rights, fishing rights, the whole shebang. It's great. So we are working with the Oyate Lakota Key Club in Oregon State Penitentiary, and it has been really wonderful working with them.
Yeah. So, welcome.
Thank you.
I'm Delphine Curtin. So I've been supporting with Roasted and Native Radio for it's been a year of the show.
Yes.
So
yeah, we just had our anniversary last week.
Yeah.
A year anniversary.
Awesome. And we'll talk more about that. But I also am part of a collective also on KBOO called Bread and Rizzes. I also help with training at KBOO. And more recently, I was actually elected to the board of directors.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Yes, awesome. Great.
So, great. You get your hands.
It's crazy KBOO in here.
Right? Yeah. Right. I think KBOO does that, yeah. You know, like fosters leadership and gives, you know, people opportunity to really, fulfill a need, mm-hmm. you know, the need for voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's so much, again, you know, it's not just that we have like announcers or DJs or whatever. I mean, we have mm-hmm. people who are like, on the ground, doing work in the community. A lot of times we're listening to the station and somebody's like interviewing somebody about something, and then the person that's getting interviewed even refers to the person that's doing the interview and say, oh yeah, but you're working on that project too. What do you think about it? And it's like, it's so funny. So it's all interconnected that way. And, and so we have the anniversary of the program. Mm-hmm. And then you also have been going down to OSP and doing a lot of work down there. So can we talk about that?
Yeah.
How's that program going?
It's going great. We've been down twice so far and, they have been wonderful. We interviewed one of their powwow princesses, Wainima Leonard, back early in the show last year, probably around July, I think. And through that, she came back and told them about her experiences with our show in KBOO. And then I think about maybe somewhere around November, we got an email from Gary Eagle Thunder, the, I guess, chief or head of
the chief of the
group, that he was interested in having us visit and talk about our show and talk about what KBOO does. And so we went down in, January or December and told them about KBOO. They already knew a lot about KBOO. Mm-hmm. They listened to KBOO, and told them about our show, what we do, and also, you know, offered offered training if anyone was getting out anytime soon. We invited them, you know, more than welcome to come work with our show or Prison Pipeline or any show that tickles your fancy. Here at KBOO, we would love to come and train you and like, you know, work with you and help get your message out to the community. And so it's been a great partnership so far.
And so maybe we can talk a little bit about what the club actually does. Mm-hmm. I'd like to read their mission statement and also say that they've been at Oregon State Penitentiary since 1968. That's when it was founded, really, to try to protect the rights of Native prisoners around culture, around traditions, around religion, spirituality, all of this. So it says, Lakota Oyate Ki is a Native American culture club located within the walls of the Oregon State Penitentiary. The Lakota Club is organized by Native inmates to provide quality programs and support to address the unique social, cultural, and economic needs of Native inmates. The Lakota Club is led by Native inmates, and through their organizing, the club is preserving, restoring, and sustaining their Indian heritage and connection with the broader Native community. And I think that whenever we got this letter, this email asking, hey, would you come down to Oregon State Penitentiary to visit us? I think Jackie and I didn't even think about it, because what KBOO does as a community and what the Lakota Club does as a community is so aligned in so many different mm-hmm. ways that, you know, we did not even hesitate. We say, yeah, let's take a road trip. Right. And we just went down there. And what we witnessed down there is just honestly something that I had never imagine could even exist. I think that for folks who are not very familiar with what the inside of a prison is like, or, you know, who prisoners are, there's lots of stereotypes, there's lots of ideas as to what to expect. And not that, you know, I believed in any of these stereotypes, but I think that what the Lakota Club does is really push those boundaries. They, you know, use the really meager salary from, you know, working those jobs at the prison mm-hmm. that do not even earn them, you know, a dollar an hour. Mm-hmm. It's really ridiculous what they make. And they still donate so much of it to causes and to efforts. They're doing hygiene drive. They're like, you know, on top of all their teaching and cultural fostering that happens within the walls of the prison, it's also the way that they reach out to the outside communities and so broaden kind of that network in between different prisons. Also, they also work very hard to try to maintain communication with the Native inmates all throughout the Oregon mm-hmm. Penitentiary system. Mm-hmm. So it's very incredible.
Can you just say something briefly, you know, because, you know, we have a lot of listeners who are interested in the subject, mm-hmm. but, you know, people do hear about writing to prisoners and visiting prisoners, you know, some of the kind of grassroots work that we're doing mm-hmm. and people kind of you know, oh God, how do you do that? Or how do you, you know, like there's a big mystery around it, which we know there's not, but maybe in regards of like demystifying it just for like listeners, can you just say something about visiting the prisons and just kind of just the basics of like what you need to do and how it's actually fairly straightforward? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So as far as communication goes, there's a few different ways. Of course, the standard is snail mail. You know, they can write mm-hmm. a letter to you, which is right. fine. When we received the email, it was an email that Gary typed up. And then there is a, I'm not really sure what
it's
title
like
is.
A prison kind of facilitator. Yeah. So it's like a prison mm-hmm. official mm-hmm. that sends the email on behalf of Gary, right. who mm-hmm. is the chief of the
So we keep in contact with him through that as well. And then as far as visiting the prison goes, you know, leave your phones in your car.
And everything else.
And right. wear slip-on shoes. Yeah, and everything else.
And do not wear blue because the inmates
no jeans.
Wear
right. Yeah, right. No blue jeans. So I usually go in sweatpants because that's all I have. So slip-on shoes, sweats, no tight clothing, no cash. They have mm-hmm. like right. change machines in there. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that, and I was like, oh wow. But usually, you know, that's basically it. You'll have to go through metal detector. Mm-hmm. They'll take off your shoes, and then yeah. after that, though, it's not too terrible.
It's not too terrible. I mean, I would like to say also, if you are female, you cannot wear a bra with wire inside.
Oh yeah,
right.
That's like right. the big
trickiest
one because yeah. they will right. make you take it apart.
Yep. Yes,
and totally. So if yeah. you really like your bras. Don't wear
don't
them.
Wear a nice one to the
there
prison.
Are plenty of good bras that don't have underwires yeah. so just buy one.
But I think that yeah, I think that it's also, you know, there's still a little, you know, scary and like unsettling. Oh, yeah. mm-hmm, like right. for me, spending, you know, in the meeting that we go to, the Lakota Club meetings are like about 3 hours, you know, so you spend 3 hours in, you know, a room with a very high ceiling. There's like, you know, all like artificial light. You cannot really see what's outside.
Solid concrete.
Yeah, solid concrete. It's not very pretty at all. It's kind of like, yeah, it's kind of suffocating, you know, so you kind of,
right,
but you
right.
know, you enter this meeting place. So you go through like a few hallways and places, and then you enter the meeting place, and then the smiling faces yeah. of the members of the Lakota Club are greeting you.
Yeah, they make you feel so yeah. welcome. Mm-hmm. Like it's scary once you get in and the guards are kind of not happy
right.
and
yeah.
you know
right, exactly,
it's,
yeah.
it's the stereotypical prison experience almost, and then you get into the meeting room and you're greeted by all these smiling faces and handshakes and mm-hmm. and sometimes cinnamon rolls or cookies
yes.
that they will right. make us treats.
Oh wow.
They and, bring you water or coffee.
Yeah, they ask if you want water, coffee, juice, and tend to you, and they have like papers and everything, and so it's like the most welcoming environment, and they really really try to make you feel welcome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we got certificates when we first came.
Yes.
We got little certificates oh, okay. that they gave us. That was really cool.
As a visitor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, as a visitor, they also take pictures, they film, you know, they mm-hmm. do a lot of like reporting for themselves.
Oh, that's great.
So every
yeah.
time we send them an email, they also print it and mm-hmm. share it mm-hmm. with all the other members.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me, it's like what has been the most mind-blowing things about it is, so the Lakota Club, they also have their own council, mm-hmm. right? So we talked about Gary, who is the chief, there's Ernest, there's like a treasurer, you know, Ernest was a vice chief, then mm-hmm. there's like a treasurer, there's like all kinds of... It's a whole, you know, system, and it's like huge accountability. Like very often when we go there, there's like all kinds of printites on the table, and you know, they have so emails that we have sent them that they mm-hmm. have printed so that the rest of the inmates can, the rest of the members can read them and know, you know, what we are coming to talk about, what we are up to, mm-hmm. you know. So it's very transparent. And last time we were there, there was a very a great, amazing discussion that happened between the inmates around like finding more time for singing and for practicing drumming and singing, and there was this like real democratic thing that happened right in front of our eyes mm-hmm. where people were raising hands, sharing you know, their piece, and one person was facilitating and ideas were being thrown around
right.
and it was like 70 people, because that's how many folks actually show up, is 70
70
people,
oh,
70 inmates come to the
oh
to the
God.
To
yeah.
the club
yeah,
meeting. It was a little intimidating when we first went there doing a presentation about KBOO. They're like, there's going to be 70 of us. We're like, okay.
That's and how many of them probably listen to KBOO, or something, right?
But it turns out half of them, if not more, listen to KBOO.
It's amazing.
And that they're all amazing individuals. And, you know, one inmate, Sean Harris, has been sending us, he has a music program that he has. So he records amazing blues music at the prison and sends us MP3s and we play them on the show. And, you know, we have a couple inmates interested in coming to KBOO once they get out. And we've sent them the volunteer packets and things like that so they can brush up on it. And so they're definitely interested and it's a great, swap of information.
Well, you know, you mentioned one thing, Delphine, too, when you use we're using the English word democracy, you know, and that there's this process going on, right? And then so kind of the prompt here is obviously we're talking about probably an indigenous model for actually doing things, right? That again, we're using the word democracy, but you know, really, and again, even there's always that argument, right, that of course the roots of democracy really I mean, aside from this whole Greek paradigm, right, that there's these indigenous models that were stolen or co-opted, you know, for this. And so the question here is that kind of getting into this area of some of the all the cultural knowledge, the religious expression, the fact that, like we mentioned, you have to go through your little intimidation period with getting through the guards, right? Because heavens forbid people are doing something productive inside or whatever, with of and for the prisoners, for the prisoners themselves, because it's this form of repression and oppression culturally as well. And so, because there's those issues of you can't burn sage, some of the prisons where they're cutting people's hair, you know, and things like that. So can you talk about that a little bit too, and how this is working with when there's these kind of organizations, you know, that people are forming, and how they're able to fight this cultural repression and oppression at the same time.
I'm not exactly sure of the date. I wish I had it in my head, but unfortunately I don't. These guys, some of the long timers there, were part of a lawsuit where they were fighting for freedom of religion, to have sweats, to have ceremony, and they won. And it was a big deal. They were, I think, the first penitentiary to be able to have sweat and have that. And
In Oregon.
And then, you know, and then the chain reaction kind of happened. They helped get that done in the women's prison. Which one? I'm not even supposed
to. Coffee Creek.
Coffee Creek. Or? There you go. Yeah. At Coffee Creek. Mm-hmm. And I think one other prison as well. And so when you have that access to those things, and we've heard this from a lot of the inmates themselves, it's so powerful to be able to connect back to that, and it has helped so many people stay clean, stay straight on the straight and narrow, as some people say, you know, it helps them just kind of heal while inside, and build that sense of community and have that support group there, you know, and also use those experiences and talk with the younger generation, the youth that are in there as well, and the elders can still reach out and teach that knowledge that's so important in our culture, you know, for elders to pass down that knowledge. They can still do that and also help each other through this time and kind of rehabilitate. And so it's such powerful medicine, as we say in the culture, it's very powerful medicine for us, and to have that is great. And so their message is, they really try to advocate for that in both prisons and elsewhere. They've actually made some ceremony stuff for a hospital in Salem, I think it is, that just opened up, and
a
they
mental
were looking,
health hospital.
Yeah, a mental health hospital that needed supplies for ceremony as well. And so they made medicine bags and all kinds of things, donated all these things. And, you know, so they help spread that as well and encourage other, you know, other people or, you know, people in other prisons to fight for that right, because, you know, that is their right to have ceremony and it has helped so many people. So it's just been great for them.
And in talking about you know, that very specific aspect. Last time we were there, I had a very interesting conversation with Ernest, who is the vice president and who is talking about youth panels. So they mm-hmm. are, in fact, inviting young Native youth from, you know, communities to come into the prison, and they have a panel of a few inmates that actually talk. And one of the things that Ernest said is, you know, when you're young, you might not understand how important traditions and the cultures actually are to you. You know, you're more interested maybe in, you know, having fun with your friends and, you know, belonging. Outside of that, you find it boring. And one of the main thing that they try to tell the youth whenever they have those youth panel is that message of, you know, you might not think that it's valuable, but really traditions, the traditions and the culture can keep you on the right path. And I think it's also in the acknowledgement of all the trauma that has happened for a generation and generation, right, of that mm-hmm. culture and those traditions being taken away, being stolen, Native communities prevented from practicing their rights, etc. And then, you know, even having inmates having to fight so that they can practice it. You know, in 1968, right. the Lakota Club was one of the very first clubs to be started, and that was, you know, on that basis of, you know, yeah, we are bored and we have those traditions and we want to be able to follow them.
Yeah, it's very important to try and break that cycle that's been going on for generations. You know, the boarding school's no different than the reformatory school, no mm-hmm, different than the prison. Mm-hmm. So, you know, with that intergenerational trauma that's been going on, they've made it their goal to try and change that for this next generation, to try and break that cycle. You know, boarding school trauma still affects, you know, us to this day and the current generation. And it might not be as obvious because boarding schools are no longer really mm-hmm. active and doing the same thing. But that you know, that cycle still exists.
The legacy is still there.
Yeah. The legacy is still there. And so programs like this help break that cycle and, you know, help not only those affected by boarding school heal, but also, you know, help teach the next generation about not only what happened, but how this, as Delphine said, how this can help keep you on the right path and how important culture is, and bring that to light and kind of right some of the wrongs in a way that have happened.
Yeah. For folks just tuning in, you're listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. And we're here with Delphine Crescenzo and also with Jackie Malmstrom from KBOO Radio, among other things, and all the great work that they're doing. And so we're talking about the Lakota Club in OSP down in Salem and the amazing work that this club is doing for the Native community inside. And so on that note of talking about this, you know, historical legacy and what have you, it's interesting, too, how, again, you know, when we talk about the prison industrial complex and this myth that, you know, there's, you know, and of course, in quotes, correctional institutions. Mm-hmm. And then we find prisoners, you know, exercising their pride and dignity, which is really the whole, which is supposed to be the idea, right, with prisons, mm-hmm. supposedly. Of course, we know that's not. But that they're doing it themselves. And so it's interesting, you know, that idea of the model of, like, creating things so other things become obsolete. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So can we talk about that a little bit more? I mean, how people are doing this themselves and really how the prison relates, like, they almost kind of don't want to really almost even be doing this, right? Because maybe to them it's like dangerous for whatever reason, you know, partially just because they're probably just a bunch of racists anyways and they can't deal with the fact that, you know, people are practicing their culture or what have you that's different from their own.
Yeah, and I feel that, you know, to a certain extent, the prison system should be happy that that's what it's triggering and then let people go. You know, I'd be like, wow, you got it. Thank you. That's what we put you in there for.
Yeah,
now exactly. Go in the community and, like, do the amazing thing that you're just doing, you know? Like, if really we, like, go back to the core of, like, why prisons were created in the first place. But here we have, you know, the testimony that, you know, our system and our society, it does not allow for second chances. chances, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, for some folks, other folks get many, many, many chances. But for some folks, you know, they don't. And I think that, and I think, you know, that the core club is very aware of that. And despite all of that, they're just, you know, get on with the day every day. Mm-hmm. They're happy, excited to be building community with each other and with other inmates and with the community outside. And I think that it's just a perfect, it was just a perfect match for us here at KBOO because, you know, Roasted and Native Radio also stands on like a 40-year legacy of Native American programming here at KBOO, you know. So again, also like those voices have been prioritized here on the airwaves. And Jackie has been doing an incredible job with her vision of Roasted and Native Radio when she started about a year ago of really wanting to be able to give access to folks, Native and non-Native, to a wide variety of newer cultural phenomenons happening through music and comics and all these things, but at the same time being able to still honor that legacy. And she said, oh, well, in folks from Indian world used to support the Lakota Club. I'm supported too, you know? And so there we are going down there and offering, hopefully for some folks who are coming out of the prison, to be introduced to this amazing resource that KBOO is and community radio is, and hopefully, you know, get some training, get some experience, you know, put a few things on your resume and move on, you know.
So as we kind of wrap it up a bit here, wanted to get into the kind of action piece for for listeners as well, as far as kind of you know, I mean, the club is, you know, run by the prisoners, and then, you know, people can go in and meet with them, do presentations or what have you. So can you talk about that a little bit? And if it's not just that, I mean, other things about like how to get involved around issues like this. I mean, you know, for perhaps there's, you know, non-Native people too who might want to support in ways that they can and should that's appropriate and what those might, what that might look like too.
Della, do you want to?
Well, I have the email address. Maybe it would be good if you wanted to get in contact with the club. I think that it would be very appropriate to wait to be invited by the club to show up. But however, if you are Native and if you have something to contribute, they are very, very, you know, interested in hearing you. If you are non-Native, then yeah, maybe you can shoot them an email and then, you know, put the question to them if you think you have something to contribute. Yeah, just to clarify, this is not to just like go and you know, and just
learn about Native culture or something
learn about, you know, like what it means to be a prisoner. No, this is like if you are interested in actually building ties in a community. So you can email, so Bill Marion is the name of the Oregon State Penitentiary person who is the liaison with the Lakota Club. So his email is bill.f.marion, and so it's spelled M-A-R-I-O-N, and so this is at doc.state.or.us. So again, bill.f.marion@doc.state.or.us.
And they have, well, they, the outside liaisons as well that they have are the Powwow Princesses that do a lot of work as well. And they're great.
And we had invited Naomi Strouser, who is the current princess, but she's in Eugene and it was not convenient time for her to join us. But I will also say that if you are interested, you know, in just prison issues or how to become more active, you know, around that, then yeah, I would encourage you to try to get in contact and get some of their history of what the Lakota Club is doing. They're very much into talking about their history and making sure their legacy is alive. And so hopefully we did a good enough job tonight at trying to represent
hopefully
that.
Hopefully they're proud of us. But yeah, if you are associated with a Native organization that you think could you know, help or need help with certain donations or things like that, you know, definitely email them. They're very open to the community and would love to have more people. They invite different people. We've been luckily enough invited for multiple meetings in a row. Mm-hmm. They have people from, U of O coming. They're very interested in higher education in college, getting natives enrolled in college mm-hmm. as well. So that's another thing. If you are, a part of maybe a college that is, you know, recruitment for native students or something like that, mm-hmm. they would love to hear from you. Shoot them an email, and if they're interested, they'll invite you. And I highly recommend going. They make amazing cinnamon rolls.
Great. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Can you, can you plug your show?
Yes.
Too, again, the time and day.
Yeah. So Rose City Native Radio is on every Thursday, 6 to 7 p.m. For a whole hour.
Yeah.
And you can find us on Facebook at Rose City Native Radio mm-hmm. For more information. And we also link to all the things that we talk about and then some. And again, it's aimed mostly towards Native youth, but also for non-Natives who are interested in maybe learning a thing or two about Native culture or modern Native culture even. Mm-hmm. We are trying to be the best platform for not only a voice for Native people, but so non-Natives can feel safe have a safe space to be educated about Native people and be open to everybody mm-hmm. about it. Mm-hmm. And we cover some cool stuff. Like I said, video games, comics, as well as the mascot fight, salmon protection, mm-hmm. All kinds of stuff, really. We've done it all. And next week, or this week, will be our first international interview. We'll be talking with Métis in Space, a podcast from Canada, who watch sci-fi shows that have Indigenous episodes, and they critique them on the representation of Indigenous people wow. through sci-fi and also through the nerd community in general, mm-hmm. which is very important.
So tune in on Thursday.
Tune in for that, fellow nerds.
Too.
Yeah.
All right. I'll be sure to. Okay. Well, thanks a lot for being on.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you, Adam.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, we'll get you back on. I got a million more questions.
Oh, totally.
And, just always like scratching the surface on this stuff. So, I want to thank our guests so much. I want to thank our engineer, Danielle Parks. And don't forget to like Prison Pipeline on Facebook. And you can listen to this and previous Prison Pipeline programs on kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. Also, don't forget we do Prisoner Writing Night community event every first Tuesday of the month. That's at 2249 East Burnside. 2249 East Burnside. It's the first Tuesday of every month. And we bring all the material so you can write to prisoners. We do write to Leonard and also Blanco, among other Native political prisoners. And so join us for that. Have a great evening. Free them all. And we'll see you next week.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive?